twice. They have a dynamic young running back. I think the receivers are okay. But, you know, the quarterback position is weird. I mean, Flacco is, he has no future. So, you know, if he's not playing great, why are you playing him? And then they probably need to find out about Dillon Gabriel because they have high draft picks in next year's draft. So they don't want to go into next year not knowing whether he can play or not. And then if Shedeur Sanders kind of becoming a little bit of a pain in the butt, intimating that he should be playing, and you might need to, you know, get a look at him before the season's over once again. So you know whether you need to draft quarterback next year. I mean, you don't want to the worst thing they could do would be to get to the draft next year, not know if they what they have in Gabriel and Sanders, draft another quarterback, find out later that you know Gabriel or Sanders could have been their starter. So it's a mixed up, kind of badly run organization. I do think Stefanski is a very good coach. They do have talent. They have an incredible defensive front. But the quarterback position's a mess.
Do you think there's potential with Gabriel or Sanders?
I mean, Gabriel is a pretty dynamic college quarterback. He's not very big. And, you know, he's going to have to – so, you know, guys who are undersized can succeed, but they need to be pretty good at managing the pocket, finding passing lanes, et cetera, et cetera. He does have a decent running game to rely on right now. The Browns do have some talent. But I don't know. He's a complete mystery. You know, he's a third-round draft pick, too. He won a top-10 pick like J.J. McCarthy. So who knows? Sanders, he's a good passer. He understands the game. He's not a great athlete. And, you know, it wasn't a conspiracy. The 32 teams didn't draft him until the fifth round. He just didn't rate that high in a lot of measurables. So, you know, he might be a good quarterback, but he's got a lot to prove. So, once again, they, you know, they really compounded their – it's hard to bring a young quarterback along, as we're seeing with J.J. McCarthy anyway. And they now they have two they probably have to take a look at.
I see that J.J. McCarthy didn't practice yesterday. They're still hoping that he might be able to practice at least a little bit today or tomorrow?
Yes. I saw him playing catch here yesterday. Did not see him. He wasn't wearing pads. Pads or a helmet. He was just kind of throwing the ball around a little bit. He's in a really good mood. I'll say that for him. He's a really chipper guy. I think he's just naturally a positive guy. And I asked O'Connell, you know, if he's going to be practicing this week. And he said they'd like to get him out there. Don't think he's ready to, like, run scout team stuff. Basically, what O'Connell is intimating is the high ankle sprain keeps him from really being able to plant his foot or to make sudden movements or run. And, you know, I know there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there, but the simplest explanation might be the one you should go with, which is that he's just not quite ready yet.
Jim, how are the Vikings going to try to account for Myles Garrett?
I think if they assign like 7 or 8 blockers to him, that might work.
Is he having a really good year?
He's a monster. He's one of the best players in the league. And really, that defensive front, if you look at their overall numbers, they have like, you know, one of my fellow writers was saying that they have like a 56% win success rate in pass rushing. And that's like historically good. It's unheard of. Now, the Lions and the Ravens have both scored a lot of points on them. I think the Ravens had scored 41 points on the touchdowns. Touchdown. The Lions scored 34 points. One of the touchdowns was a fumble return. But, you know, they still, the front is really good, and they have one really good cornerback. They can seem to be vulnerable to the quick passing game. But, you know, I mean, Myles Garrett is the best of a very good.
Jim, let's see if we can switch attention here to the Minnesota Lynx. Nafisa Collier suffered a grade 2 tear of 3 ligaments in her ankle and a muscle in her shin during the collision Friday with Phoenix Mercury forward Alyssa Thomas. Of course, that was what got Cheryl Reeve upset, got her eventually kicked out of the game. So she would not have been available if they would have made the WNBA finals. Your thoughts on the injury?
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was that serious. This sounds more serious. It's probably going to take her out of her unrivaled league. But I would guess she's going to be fine for next year. I mean, everything you said is none of it's good, but I don't think it would keep her from playing next year. And that's what Lynx fans, Minnesota's care most about. And that league, the unrivaled league, will probably do pretty well because they're going to have Caitlin Clark and Bob Kay.
All right, Jim, we're kind of losing connection with you here a little bit. And maybe we've completely lost connection with Jim. Still listed as being here, but I
can't. Okay, you have me now?
I got you now. Yeah, now you sound better. Yeah. Yeah, you're good now.
Yeah, we're walking to practice, and I go in and out a little bit when we do that.
Sure. So I wanted to bring up to you then, so do you think that we're going to see a change with the WNBA commissioner? I mean, there's been a lot of people that have come out and supported what Collier had to say.
My guess is not. Commissioners tend to be unpopular to begin with. I mean, Roger Goodell was incredibly unpopular. You're talking about rich people. You know, the commissioner works for the owners. These are rich people who don't like being told what to do. So as much as I would like to see a change in the commissioner, I can't say I anticipate that happening.
Jim, some other things going on. The Gopher football team is going to be playing a top-ranked Ohio State on Saturday. Drake Lindsay looked good against Rutgers, but this is going to be a really big challenge against the Buckeyes, isn't it?
Yeah. At Ohio State, defense allowing like 5.5 points per game. Young quarterback, huge crowd noise. Yeah, this probably is not going to be a great weekend for the Gophers.
What do you think about this Gopher team? Do we know much about them yet? I mean, 3-1 through four games, some tough opponents, some not so tough.
I think we're still figuring it out. And I think when you have a young quarterback, you know, putting some kind of a brand on this team right now is probably a mistake. I do like Lindsay. The loss to Cal now doesn't look as good. Now the Cal doesn't look like they're a strong team. But, you know, they kind of held serve winning at home against Rutgers, which is the kind of win this team needs. I mean, it feels to me like kind of a, right now, an average to slightly below average Big Ten team. But they have a chance to get better. You know, one thing I will give Fleck credit for is he's had a lot of teams that have improved during the season. You know, we've seen him have bad early games or struggle in some phase, and they do seem to get better as the year goes on. So I just, you know, listen, this might be a really tough weekend, but I wouldn't say that that rules out this being a good season overall at some point.
Jim, the Minnesota Wild got a preseason game against Chicago tomorrow night, and then they start the regular season next Thursday, week from today, in St. Louis against the Blues. Now that we know Kirill is going to be back with this team going forward, what do you think about their prospects? How good could they be this year?
Everybody goes to the playoffs, so, you know, saying that they could be a playoff team isn't a very dramatic thing. You know, they Kaprizov healthy. And Kaprizov is the big news, of course. But what I'm really interested in is Boyum. You know, how does Boyum affect blue line scoring? How does he affect the power play? Can he really give them a boost? And Kaprizov's going to have to carry the scoring load. You know, is Rossi going to continue improving? But Boyum, to me, is the most intriguing guy on the roster.
Will Boyum be a top four defenseman?
I'm not sure yet. I think he's going to be on the power play. He's going to eventually be a top four defenseman. I have no idea if that's, you know, in the cards right now at the beginning of the season.
Are there some players that that the Wild would need to kind of get better, enhance their abilities, and you know, maybe kind of emerge if they're going to be a team that can not only just make the playoffs but go into the play, you know, like win a series?
Yeah, I mean, kind of everybody on the roster, frankly. I mean, to me, that's why I mentioned Rossi. I mean, now they've kind of committed to him at a time when everybody thought they were going to trade him away. And he's, you know, I just think he's the kind of scorer who could lift this team's fortunes.
Jim, the NFL week 5 starts tonight with the Rams and the 49ers playing in Los Angeles. Boy, the 49ers got a ton of injuries. They're going to play without Brock Purdy, their top two receivers. Christian McCaffrey, who's usually hurt, he's healthy enough to play. Both teams are 3-1. The Rams look like they're in pretty good shape here. What do you think about this matchup?
I think the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL. I think the Davante Adams move is really good for that offense. They can run it. They have two star receivers. Stafford's playing great. They're well coached. The defense is good. As you said, the 49ers are, listen, McCaffrey's a great player, and once and they are really well coached. But I just don't think they can survive this level of injuries.
Yeah, it's a lot. Baseball playoffs. You got three deciding game threes taking place today: the Tigers, Guardians, Padres, Cubs, Red Sox, Yankees. Dodgers already advanced. Red Sox, Yankees always generates an interest. What do you think?
Well, I hope that people appreciate two things. I hope they appreciate just how unique Shohei Ohtani is. This really might be one of the greatest players in baseball history. Who knows if he, sticks around and stays healthy enough to put up the kind of numbers that you need to get in the Hall of Fame or whatever. But, I mean, just what he does is just stunning. And then Aaron Judge. I mean, there just haven't been many better right-handed power hitters in the history of Major League Baseball. Power hitters who can also hit for average, who, he's incredible. Really, if you break down his numbers, and, you look at so many of the great, Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, there's so many of the great hitters or left-handers. Hank Aaron did it by just being incredibly consistent over 20, 25 years. But in terms of impact in the modern game, I just hope people appreciate how good Aaron Judge is.
All right, Jim, what do you got on your podcast?
I'll say we have Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider out today. We have Don Mitchell's show out. Mark Rosen's Sports Monday is out. The Fantasy Huddle with Kevin Gorg and Randy Shaver. Check it all out at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Suhan Strib. Check out his latest column, the Star Tribune, or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again, today is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. He's been joining us all week from London, covering the Vikings. They're going to play the Browns Sunday morning. Hear that game here on WJON with a 7:30 pregame. Vikings are brought to you by the Ultimate Sports Bar and Grill in Wade Park, Maury's Auto Group, a Little Falls, and Legacy Upfitters and Protective Coatings. Next on WJON, World and National News from ABC, followed by local news.